312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're going to be talking about very special episodes of TV shows where they have a nice little message or they take on a controversial topic. Usually it was a sitcom that would do that. Very special episode. They don't do that very often now, right? Dan, are there still very special episodes?
You know, I think one of the products, obviously, living in the golden age of television, is the people who write television now were huge fans of television growing up.
Yeah.
So if they do, it's kind of a send-up of the very special episode,
yeah,
you know, as opposed to a legitimate thing.
Well, I think also now, you know, a lot of comedy shows take on serious topics. You know what I mean? Like, they never really did that. Like, in the 70s and the 80s, if you watch the sitcom, it was like for escapism, it was silly. But now, I mean, if you take a look at like a half an hour comedy show like Better Things, the Pamela Adlon show, which is about her raising single mom, raising these three daughters, and they take on serious issues in every single episode. But it's a comedy. And that just seems to be, I think, the quality of television, what you're permitted to do on TV now.
Yeah.
You know, you can take on heady subjects or heavy subjects without having it be a very special, you know, episode. So, yeah, I mean, I think TV is, transformed into that a little bit, where very special episodes are on every night, you know, without being, you know, called out as very special episodes. But back in the 70s and 80s, that wasn't the case, you know. So you would have, like, wacky sitcoms that were normally just, like, 22 minutes of escapist silliness suddenly taking on some sort of topic that's serious. And those were the very special episodes. And that's how they advertised them, too, right? Every time they were there, it was a very special episode. Now, we have a bunch of them that we've talked about before, and I would love to hear from you guys. Which ones do you remember? Which ones were classics for you? 312-981-7200. Esmeralda, did anything pop into your head about a very special episode of, you know, that make sure the whole family watches together?
Oh, you know the usuals.
Uh-huh.
There is the Saved by the Bell.
That's the first one we're going to talk
right
about. Yeah.
Jesse taking those, I think,
caffeine pills.
Are they caffeine pills?
Yeah,
okay.
They were like diet pills is what they were.
Oh, okay, diet pills.
Diet pills are, you know, basically caffeine tablets, because that's
right,
basically what a diet pills.
She had to be perfect. She
and
had
she
to do
had
everything.
She had to study, right?
She had to study. She had to do this singing, dance thing. She had to do everything.
So, you know, since we're talking about that, Dan, why don't you just give this a little try?
Pills? You mean you really are taking drugs?
I need them.
Jesse, give me those.
I need them back. I have to sing.
Jesse, you can't sing tonight.
Yes, I can. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I'm so scared.
Jesse.
Yeah.
She's so scared.
Did she get an Emmy for that?
I don't think she did,
no.
Unfortunately.
Elizabeth Berkley. Didn't get an Oscar for Showgirls either, shockingly.
Mm.
Now I never watched Saved by the Bell. When I was a Mambo King with Mr. Oaken and we lived together, he, you know, ironically watched Saved by the Bell like pretty regularly, but I never watched, I never sat down and watched it. But I did actually see that episode because Oaken said, you have to see this. You really need to come in here right now and watch this episode. And so that's the one, it is truly the one episode of Saved by the Bell that I've seen from beginning to end. I've never seen a whole episode of Saved by the Bell.
They have a few more where
yeah,
it gets, like, it's their very special episodes.
Well, here's what they say about it, Esmeralda. Listen, it says, this is from Screen Rant, where they have the weirdest, very special episodes of TV. Here's what they say about the Saved by the Bell. That title was, the title of that episode, Esmeralda? Jesse's Song.
Oh, boy.
But they had other very special episodes of Saved by the Bell offered heavy-handed lessons about ecological issues such as pipe dreams and its oil-slicked dead duck. You remember that one, Esmeralda?
I don't.
The oil-slicked dead duck. Then there was the hypocritical pot-smoking teenage actors on the episode No Hope with Dope. Do you remember a pot-smoking episode?
No.
Dan, you remember either of these?
I remember the pot-smoking.
What was
one.
That one like?
An actor or a group of actors came in to film a, like, PSA about the dangers of pot smoking at the school.
Mm-hmm.
And
They actually smoked pot.
You know, they got all the guys got invited to the party, and they were smoking pot. The thing with that episode, the coup de grace of that one was at the end, and I'll see if I can find it, is that at the end, the stars of Saved by the Bell, so those guys...
Do they break character?
Well, no. At the end, they create their own commercial, and it is spectacular.
Oh.
Let me see if I can pull it up. All
right, maybe you can find that one. But that's No Hope with Dope. They say, however, Jesse's song is especially special for the overtop portrayal of the effects of caffeine pill abuse. According to one of the episode's co-writers, the disparity between Jesse Spano's scenery gobbling meltdown is due to the fact that NBC censors wouldn't let them show a high school student abusing amphetamines on Saturday morning TV. So instead, Jesse spread thin between her constant academic perfectionism and the newfound pressures of fronting the band Hot Sunday. That was the name of her band, was Hot Sunday?
I didn't know that. Because they had the one where it's like Zach and the somethings.
Did they all have bands at some point?
No, they all were in a band.
Was it Screech in it?
Probably.
California Dreams, right?
No. That was a whole other. They look very similar, but it wasn't. I forget it was like, maybe it was Zach Attack? I think that was the name of the band.
It said they turned to demon caffeine to keep her energy up. We might as well have had Jesse getting addicted to Earl Grey or breaking into the Max to snort coffee grounds, said Peter Engel, who was executive producer. But hey, we had to start somewhere.
I have the final few minute of Hope with Dope, in which
No Hope with Dope.
They bring in the president of NBC Entertainment to report. Wait, the fact that...
Is it an actor playing the NBC?
No, I believe it's the actual dude.
It's the actual NBC president?
Yeah, because Mr. Belding, the principal, quote-unquote, knew him, and the actor that had come in to film the thing was from NBC.
Okay.
And so here we go.
All right.
Hi, I'm Brandon Tartikoff, chairman of NBC Entertainment.
Cut! That was great!
All right!
Dumb.
Stupid.
Crazy.
Stupid.
Dangerous. Dumb.
Dangerous.
Crazy.
In one word, would I use dope? Hi, I'm Brandon Tartikoff, chairman of NBC Entertainment. And I've got a hit idea for the new fall season.
Do drugs.
There's hope with dope!
Wait, what?
That was a parody.
And that was Brandon Tartikoff.
Okay, one, why would the kids be like, whoa, the chairman of NBC programming? He's telling me to do things? Like,
yeah.
Who would care?
Yeah. That's just crazy. And that's how the episode ended.
Yep.
And then did they also have him say do drugs?
Yeah, it was like it was pro drugs at the end.
Yeah, it sounded like...
I think the YouTube person, like, cut it off.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I get YouTube. It. I got so, it.
All right. Brandon Tartikoff, saving the world from drugs.
They did one about drinking as well. Drinking and driving.
Specifically drinking and driving?
Yeah, because, yeah, they had been drinking and driving, and then they ruined a car. It was someone's car, and then Zach was trying to get it fixed, and it was a whole thing.
They actually, the kids from Saved by the Bell were drinking booze?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Probably wine coolers or something. I mean, they're in high school, so.
Yeah. Oh, boy. All right. Well, Jesse's song. Whatever. So Saved by the Bell had a few of these then. They made a, you know, I mean, it was a show that was aimed at kids, right? It was on Saturday mornings,
right?
So it was aimed at teenagers or younger.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, you're going to throw in lessons. Hell, G.I. Joe gives you a lesson every episode. Dan, I know that you learned everything you needed to know about morals by watching G.I. Joe.
I did. Knowing is half the battle.
Oh, man. We never had any lessons in the kids' shows that I watched. You know? H.R. Puffin stuff made you want to smoke pot.
Yeah, after, I was gonna
say. You watch some of the crazy crap that we watched in the early 70s. Be like, you know what? I need a drink. I'm 9. I just watched some TV. I need some booze. This is just too much. No idea what to make of any of this. All right. Now, I never watched Boy Meets World. Now, did either of you guys watch Boy Meets World?
Yeah.
Do you remember the very special episode of Boy Meets World?
No. What was it?
It's Dan, did you watch Boy Meets World?
I did. I did not see this episode, though.
It's called Cult Fiction. Airing slightly less than a month after San Diego police discovered the bodies of 39 members of the Heaven's Gate cult, This season 4 episode of Boy Meets World finds Sean under the influence of an enigmatic and sinister cult leader, Philip Mack. After Mr. Turner pressures Sean to commit a college-bound course of action, a classmate lures him to the center, promising no one will judge him there. Corey and Mr. Feeney both try to convince Sean that Mac is manipulating him, but only Mr. Turner's near-fatal motorcycle accident finally convinces Sean that he should think for himself. And here's a fun fact. After winning an argument while comatose, Mr. Turner disappeared from Boy Meets World continuity for 18 years until Girl Meets the New Teacher, an episode in the follow-up Girl Meets World, must have been some motorcycle accident. Yeah, I don't remember. I never watched the show, so I don't remember that one. But I guess he was in a cult.
I don't remember that, but that makes sense because he didn't have, like, his parents were pretty much non-existent.
Uh-huh.
So he was very susceptible to all that kind of stuff. He was kind of like the rebel kid.
Yeah. Well, you know, in order to actually meet the whole world, you have to become you have to go into a cult at some point, right? You can't meet the entire world and not be a part of a cult.
That's true.
All right, very special episodes of TV shows. 312-981-7200. We've got the weird ones and the crazy ones and the dark ones as well. 312-981-7200. All right, we got a break here for weather and traffic. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DeGilio here on 720 WGN, Triple Play Thursday. Yeah, man, Triple Play Thursday. It's one artist, three songs. Mike Chambers Brothers' third song, Stealing Watermelons, is the name of that one. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We are talking very special episodes of television. We've been talking about the very special episodes of Saved by the Bell and then a very special episode of Boy Meets World where there's a cult in it. And these are the episodes usually of sitcoms where they try to take on a very heavy issue or a controversial topic, and they make sure that you know it's very special so that you, the entire family, can watch it together and then have a lovely dialogue afterwards. If you would like to jump in with your favorites and most memorable and maybe the weirdest very special episodes, 312-981-7200. Here's Patrick on WGN. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, Nick. How you doing this morning,
buddy? All right.
Real quick, to kind of piggyback on what you were saying earlier before I get to my show, you know, a lot of shows didn't really talk. You know, people didn't talk openly about a lot of topics back in the day.
Yeah.
Whereas now, this is pretty much, it goes along with what you were saying, like, you're talking about Better Things, where it's added into the comedy. You know, now, everything's out in the open. I mean, the only thing they don't do on network TV is have full frontal nudity, but, I mean, it's kind of insinuated, should I say?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like we were saying earlier, Patrick, I mean, TV has changed, man. I mean, it's massively changed since the days of the 70s and 80s when they had these episodes.
Right. I mean, you know, you can watch, if you're going to watch something like FX, American Horror Story, or even going back to The Shield, where even though that basic cable, it was still, back in the 80s, basic cable wouldn't show anything like what you would see on those shows.
Oh, no. They're dropping F-bombs like crazy. I mean, there's a show called Happy, which is great.
Oh, I love Happy. I love it.
It's great, and that's an R-rated show, man, and that's on Sci-Fi. And they're
Can I ask you something? Are you watching it as it happens? Because I watch it DVR'd. I DVR'd and I rewatch it.
Yeah, I DVR it too. I usually watch, I DVR a lot, just lots of stuff, and usually most of my TV time is when I get home in the morning from work. That's when I usually watch a bunch of stuff. So,
because what I want to do is catch it as it's airing live and see if they're bleeping out or, you know what I'm saying, blanking out those F-bombs. Because I think Happy was doing that. The last couple of seasons of American Horror Story was doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Especially this last season.
And the People versus O.J. Simpson. I remember when I watched The People versus O.J. Simpson, and Sarah Paulson dropped the F-bomb at the end of one episode. I was like, what? And I think that was the first time I had ever heard it on basic cable. But now it's all over the place.
Right. It's everywhere. Now, I haven't watched too many. I'm not home to watch a lot of network TV shows, so I don't know what language they're using. I think there were a couple shows on NBC I was starting to get into. I tried to watch Hannibal. I know Hannibal was pushing the envelope
Hannibal,
on the violence.
Yeah. Okay. Hannibal really pushed the envelope. Hannibal was really creepy and really bloody and really, they pushed it.
Right. And like I said, back in the day, you didn't have things like that. That's why, you know, everything was a very special episode, which brings me to, okay, I know there's a whole bunch, a couple from Good Times, but the main one I get to from Good Times, and I think it's post Esther Rowe, I think she had left the show at this point, Thelma's boyfriend moved in with him, and he was a raving alcoholic. I don't know if you remember that episode.
Yeah, yeah.
He would come home, angry, just angry about whatever happened at work, went to the bathroom, comes out, singing, happy, cracking jokes.
Yep.
And they never knew why until they found out he was hiding his bottle of liquor in the tank of the toilet.
Right.
She confronted him about it, and what was really poignant, he smacked her so hard he knocked her to the floor.
Yeah.
So that was...
Yeah, well, I mean, Good Times has a ton of them, because Good Times was, you know, Good Times was one of the first shows to really take on a lot of issues, you know, weekly. I mean, Janet Jackson's character was abused by her mother, like beaten by her mother.
Bring that one up. That was definitely one I was going to bring up. That was
and
a big one.
You know, when John Amos was on the show and he complained to Norman Lear that the show is getting ridiculous because all it is, you know, Jimmy Walker walking around going dynamite. Then they killed him off. So that's why John Amos, he got fired. They killed his character off.
And, right. I remember reading that. And I think I remember you talking about that.
Yeah. So, but no, there were Good Times had a lot of them. They actually, in fact, on this list that I have, they have one. And Good Times, the one they picked was JJ in Trouble. And it says, I've got VD, JJ yells, pounding on the kitchen table after a former girlfriend tells JJ she tested positive for an unspecified STD. Our bucket-headed hero must brave a visit to the free clinic. While waiting there, he meets a not-so-famous-yet Jay Leno, who laments that venereal disease often goes undiagnosed because those who are infected are too embarrassed to seek treatment. A germ's a germ, ain't it? Leno philosophizes in his TV debut. JJ, meanwhile, pretends he's got a cold. Fortunately, JJ's tests were negative. And like so many special episodes, only the newly introduced characters end up affected by the hot-button issue. So I don't remember JJ getting VD.
I remember Michael getting forced to join a gang.
Yeah,
you know, and he tried to burn the jacket in the oven. Of course, the one with Penny.
Yeah,
that was a 2-part episode, and of course, when James died. But you know, Norman Lear's shows really had a lot of special episodes.
Oh, they did. No. I mean, that was the MO of Norman Lear. I mean, he took on issues. I mean, if you just look at, you know, All in the Family took on issues every single episode. So, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks, Patrick.
Thank you.
Take care, buddy. Yeah, but that was the thing that about Norman Lear. That's why they were so groundbreaking, the tandem productions by Buddy Yorkin and Norman Lear. Nobody had done the kind of stuff that they were doing before. Nobody. And that's why, I mean, still to this day, if you watch All in the Family, All in the Family is as timely today as it was back then. And it was way ahead of its time and taking on issues that nobody had taken on before. But the one episode of All in the Family that everybody remembers is the episode of, where Edith is home alone and someone breaks in and tries to rape her. And I remember watching that episode. And, you know, it was really intense and scary. And I remember when Edith finally gets away from the guy, and if I remember correctly, she throws a pan of hot water or cake. It was, but it's hot out of the oven or something like that. Slams him in the face with it, and then she gets away. And I remember the audience just going nuts. And they interviewed the actor who played him was a guy named David Dukes. And he talked about how when he was walking down the street, people wanted to kill him because he was the actor that almost raped Edith Bunker. He was the guy that almost raped Edith Bunker. And he was always remembered for that, David Dukes, always remembered for that. And it's a really crazy, they're next door. Mike and Gloria are preparing for it's Edith's surprise birthday. And, and then it just goes on forever. Like the episode of her being, you know, like threatened by this guy and this guy trying to rape her. It seemed to go on forever. And they were talking. Norman Lear was being interviewed for one of the anniversary specials for, you know, All in the Family, or one of the celebrations of All in the Family, and said that he had never heard an audience erupt when she got away from him, when she throws the cake in his face, and then he runs out. He had never heard an audience erupt so loudly and almost ripped the place apart with cheering. Because it's Edith Bunker was, she was a beloved character. And to put her through that for, like, most of the episode, and the audience was silent through most of it, and then they finally screamed and went nuts. And it was, he said, one of the loudest audience reaction he'd ever heard in his life. So, and that was another one. But again, All in the Family took on very serious issues every week. By the way, Stephen Tobolowsky is going to be joining us to talk about One Day at a Time next Wednesday. Our good old friend Stephen Tobolowsky, and that's another Norman Lear production. And the reboot on Netflix, if you've not seen it, it's really, really great and surprisingly amazing. And Stephen Tobolowsky will be joining us to talk about that next week. All right, we'll take a break. We got the news coming up in 5 seconds. There you go. Triple Play Thursday. Yeah, man, Triple Play Thursday. One artist, three songs. Dave gets one in here for the Fifth Dimension, Age of Aquarius from the musical Hair. Yes, Fifth Dimension. Hey, it's Nick DiGilio. How's everybody doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. It's Thursday morning, and we are talking about the best very special episodes, or the weirdest or the craziest very special episodes of TV shows, usually sitcoms from the 70s or 80s. 312-981-7200 for the weirdest or the most memorable ones that you remember. We've been talking about a bunch of them. And if you would like to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. We're here till 5 this morning. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. All right. 312-981-7200. There's Tim on WGN. Hi, Tim.
Hey, Nick. How are you, man?
All right.
I remembered an episode of The Simpsons. Actually, I think it was episode number one, or it was in the first season, 1989-ish, I think. I don't know if it was when it was still part of the Tracy Ullman show or when it was on its own, but I think it was called Sergeant Bart. And the whole thing is, Nelson, of course, is the bully in The Simpsons, and Nelson would beat everybody up. In this particular episode, he was beating up Bart on a regular basis. And Bart, hired a vet, and or not hired, but went and got the help of a vet to plan all these different tactical moves to beat Nelson. And it was the whole war scene is basically what it was. So it touched on the whole bullying issue, and then a war against one particular kid. And I think it actually works pretty well for today too, with all the bullying that goes on.
I don't remember that episode at all, Tim. Wow.
Yeah, first season. I got the set for a bachelor gift.
Yeah.
Many years ago at this point. But at the end of the episode, I don't know how much you can break character when you're a cartoon.
Yeah.
I don't know how you can, or they have a specific scene with Bart at the end where it's just him talking to the camera. It says, kids, remember that although we made war look like it's glorious and fantastic, it's really quite ugly and can be very severe. And so it's a little lesson that he tries to convey at the end of that particular episode.
Wow.
And for The Simpsons, I was shocked.
I mean, that sounds so uncharacteristic of The Simpsons. Esmeralda, do you remember this episode?
I don't.
No, I'm going to have to find it now, Tim. I'm going to have to find that.
Season one, man. I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
Okay.
And I think it might be Sergeant Bart, but it's not bad. It's kind of fun to watch the old animation, too.
Yeah. When they looked completely different. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. It was good fun. I enjoyed watching. I thought I'd contribute.
Thanks, man. There. Thank you, Tim. I appreciate it, buddy. Have a good one.
All right, you too.
Okay. Man, does that sound intriguing or what, Esmeralda? It doesn't sound bad. It sounds so uncharacteristic of The Simpsons.
Yeah, well, if it was first season.
Yeah. I love how different they looked when they were on Tracy Ullman. And then
all wonky.
So funny. And Homer's voice was different. It didn't sound... He was the same guy. But it was the same guy who did the voice, but his take on it changed as he got a little bit older, as they moved on. But wow, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Andrew in Alabama says WKRP episode after the Who stampede. Yeah, that's right. I don't know if you remember this. You weren't even born, Esmeralda, but there was a in Cincinnati. There was this is in real life. This wasn't in an episode of the TV show.
Yeah. Yeah,
there was a stampede,
mm-hmm.
and people were killed at a Who concert.
Right,
and it made them beef up security at concerts. It made them rethink the whole general admission thing in big venues like that, because that's why people got run over. Everybody's trying to get there, and so the KRP took it on, You know, because it's like they're an FM rock station, a fictional FM rock station in Cincinnati where that actually took place. So they actually did take that on, like that real issue. I remember that episode. Trevor Antioch said every episode of Beverly Hills 90210. Was Beverly Hills 90210? Because I didn't watch it. Was it heavy into that kind of stuff?
It wasn't. One episode I really remember is when All for One was on. And the girl snuck into the hotel room.
Oh.
So I will say that was not a very special episode.
No.
There was one, though, where I don't remember her name. Brenda? Shannon Doherty's
character.
Shannon
Doherty, yeah.
She found a lump in her breast.
Oh, okay.
And then they did the whole thing.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, so then they took some of those issues on then.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't watch Beverly Hills 90210. Shockingly. That was my pre-teenage girl discovery. You know what I mean? Boy, that sounded bad. That sentence sounded really bad. The teenage girl within me, that was pre. I hadn't really discovered how much I enjoy the TV shows that teenage girls enjoy. That happened when I discovered Party of Five and My So-Called Life, and then it was just a nonstop from there. 573 area code says, All in the Family, when Edith died and Archie had to explain the death to the little girl. Again, all in the family, man. Mike says, Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids cartoon always taught us a lesson at the end. Yes, they did. Usually with a song. There was always a lesson at the end of the Fat. You guys ever watch Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids?
No.
Dan, did you ever watch it?
Here and there.
I mean, it was, you know, I'm of that age where it was on. I mean, I watched it every Saturday. And there was always, like, always a song at the end. That had some sort of like, no, it's no fun playing hooky. You know, it would be stuff like that. Trying to teach the kid a lesson. You know, like you had that in your G.I. Joe.
I did, yes.
In my generation, it was Fat Albert telling us, don't go playing hooky, you know, or whatever you do. Don't skip school, that kind of thing. So, oh, man. Gov, my main man Gov, says my favorite very special episode is from Different Strokes where Arnold gets touched by Gordon Jump. Dudley is shirtless, clueless, and basically a dope. Hilarious despite the subject. That's mentioned on this list. It's called The Bicycle Man, and they go over to a bicycle. Speaking of, that's weird that we were talking about KRP and now we're going to this because Gordon Jump was on KRP. But this was the one where they go to the bicycle shop. They had a number of special episodes on Different Strokes. Nancy Reagan was on for the Just Say No episode. But the most special entry will forever be the two-part episode, The Bicycle Man, in which a bike shop owner attempts to seduce Gary Coleman's Arnold and his friend Dudley. Mr. Horton, played by Gordon Jump, serves wine to two young, unaccompanied boys, shows them an X-rated magazine, and encourages them to pose in suggestive photographs, all of which he recommends they keep a secret. The Bicycle Man deserves credit for depicting a serious danger in a realistic way, but probably loses a few taste points for keeping the laugh track going throughout the show. Jeez. That's completely inappropriate. So, all right. The very special episodes continue. What are some of the most, or the weirdest, or the most memorable that you remember? 312-981-7200. We got a break here. We got weather and we got traffic. I forgot how much I like the Fifth Dimension. They were great. Triple Play Thursday. Yeah, man, Triple Play Thursday. 312-981-7200. Dave has chosen the Fifth Dimension. That's Stone Cold Picnic. Yeah, man, Stone Cold Picnic. All right. How's everybody doing this morning? We're talking about very special episodes of TV shows. And, you know, we've been going through some of the classics that we remember. And, you know, again, we were talking about how television has changed so much that now many sitcoms or TV shows take on very serious issues without it having to be a very special episode. So, but there was a time when then you had to, like, let everybody know, gather the entire family around the TV because it's very special. And wasn't there the one, Esmeralda, did you watch the show, Home Improvement?
I did, yeah.
So there was the episode of Home Improvement where they found a bag of weed.
I vaguely remember that.
In one of the kids, and I don't think it was JTT, it was the other one.
No, it was the older guy.
Yeah. Was JTT the younger brother on that show?
He's the middle brother.
Middle. Oh, they had three kids?
Yes.
Oh, all right. But I remember that one was the ABC advertised the hell out of that one, where they found a bag of weed in his you know, like, how are we going to handle this? We need to sit down and say, hey, we found weed in your room. Dan, do you remember that home improvement episode?
I do, yes.
Well, how did that work out? Now, did Tim, what did they find it in his room because he was trying to, you know, put a car motor attached to a car motor to the kid's record player or something? What happened there? Do you remember?
I do not. I do remember, you know, the consternation when they found it and the awkward, you know, interaction in the living room, but I don't remember.
Did Tim Allen go outside and get advice from the guy with no face?
I'm sure Wilson was involved.
Did he go outside and go, hey, guy with no face, I just found a bag of weed. And then the guy with no face said, bring it over. Throw it over the fence, man.
I remember when the younger son started to be, he became goth.
What?
He wore black lipstick.
No,
wore
really?
All black. Yeah.
Wow, I'd love to see that. That sounds fantastic. Who were they? Were the other two kids ever popular? Were they little hunks and stuff? Because I know that Jonathan Taylor Thomas, Tootler Thomas, was very popular. But were the other two at all?
Not to that extent. Yeah. I don't remember seeing them. Like, JTT had a movie career. I don't remember seeing the other two in any movies.
Well, he kind of had a movie career. Well, I'm trying to remember what movies he was.
He was Simba.
What does that mean?
He was Simba.
Oh, he's the voice of Simba?
Yeah.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know that. Wow, I had no idea.
Yeah.
Seriously, I had no idea. I just know James Earl Jones did a voice. That's the only thing I know. Oh, and Nathan Lane? Wasn't Nathan Lane a voice?
Yes,
in
he was.
Okay. That's about it. And Gilbert Gottfried was a voice in Aladdin, right? He was the bird.
He was the parrot, yes.
He was the parrot in Aladdin.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Wow. But he was in some movie. Wasn't Jonathan Taylor Thomas? Like, he was in a couple of live-action movies that he was supposed to take off as the, like, teen.
Was he in Blank Check?
I know. That was the kid from Malcolm in the Middle, I believe.
Frankie Muniz?
Oh, okay.
Blank Check.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas was in Tom and Huck.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see here. I'll Be Home for Christmas. I think that was when he was a little older and... He was, like, on a road trip with a teenage girl and trying to make it home.
There was one, though, like, was he in a Chevy Chase movie? Was he in, like, Man About the House or Crazy House Living in a Nut House? I can't.
Oh, wait. The one with, the one with Sinbad?
Sinbad?
Yeah.
House Guest?
No, there's one, isn't there
First one Kid?
Yeah, isn't there one with Sinbad Security for the White House?
Okay, yeah, First Kid. Was that Jonathan Taylor Thomas?
I'll look that up. Man of the House is the one with Chevy Chase.
Okay, that's the one I remember.
A young boy refuses to accept his mother-in-law's new boyfriend, a lawyer, despite the man's attempt to win his respect.
Ah.
While disgruntled rental relatives of a criminal he prosecuted seek revenge.
That sounds like a very special episode of TV right there. Yeah.
First Kid with Sinbad starred Brock Pierce.
Oh, good. I remember him. Who could forget Brock Pierce?
Brock Pierce was also in the Mighty Ducks movies.
He was in the Mighty Ducks movies?
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
Problem Child 3.
That's a great lineup right there. Sinbad. God, I remember House Guest. You guys remember House Guest?
I do not.
Phil Hartman? You should look up the poster. The poster for House Guest, Sinbad and House Guest. It's Sinbad. It's the family led by Phil Hartman opening up their mailbox, and Sinbad's inside. That's the poster for it. You should look it up. Do a Google image for Sinbad House Guest, and it's one of my favorite bad movie posters of all time. It's like Sinbad smiling, sticking his head out of their mailbox. And Phil Hartman going, uh-oh, it's Wacky Sinbad.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, you're looking at it?
Yep.
One of the best bad movie posters of all time. Oh, no, look, Sinbad's in our mailbox. What are we going to do? Wow. Now, Dan, you're a Buffy fan.
I am.
Do you remember Beer Bad?
I do.
It's the very special episode. Often considered one of the worst episodes of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Beer Bad finds Xander employing a fake ID to get a job tending bar at a local pub, pouring a brand of beer, the Warlock brewed Black Forest, that reverts drinkers into the Neanderthal state. Complete with cave paintings and mate clubbings.
Oh, I remember. Yeah, and Buffy just she gets all caveman like.
What? Dan, is this for real?
Yeah. I mean, they were obviously kind of, it was a satirical take on everything, but.
Why is that the special episode? There's so much more serious topics in Buffy. I mean, her mom dies
her
at
mom
one
died,
point.
Yeah, is the one that I that.
It says, reportedly written in an unsuccessful effort to cash in on a grant offered by the U.S. government's Office of National Drug Control Policy, the season 4 episode features Buffy grunting lines like, want beer, like beer, beer good, and fighting with devolved college bros, but it doesn't really make a definitive statement on young adult drinking, which might explain why the National Office rejected the episode's request for funding. Okay. Okay, I don't remember. So, why is that considered one of the worst episodes?
It definitely not one of the upper pantheon. I mean, that was kind of still early on when it was finding its footing a little bit.
Yeah. All right. Okay, and Esmeralda, you remember that episode too, then?
Yeah. Well, I probably saw it maybe a year ago.
Yeah.
All the seasons, so
yeah,
still pretty fresh.
I never got into. I still don't understand this. Like, Dan, how is it possible that I never got into that show? I couldn't get into it.
Right, it checks all your boxes.
Every one of them.
Strong female lead.
Yep.
Horror.
Oh, yep.
On the WB.
Yeah. I mean, well, how did I not love it? And people, it's not for lack of trying. Trust me, man. Then everybody would say you're watching the wrong season, and they would give me seasons on DVD, and I would go home and I'd watch like 4 episodes, and I'm like, I can't. This is not doing anything. I love the movie. Maybe that's just weird that I think the movie's terrific, but I never really liked the TV show. So, all right. Anyway, we got a break here. We got news coming up, and then more very special episodes of TV. Fifth Dimension. Oh, they were great. Dave, Triple Play Thursday. Yeah. And it's Fifth Dimension, Wedding Bell Blues. Those songs were all massive hits, too. Could you imagine that song being like on the charts today? Yeah. 60s were a different time, man. You know what I'm talking about, man? Yeah. Hey, we've been talking about very special episodes of TV. I love the fact, by the way, that the name of that Buffy the Vampire Slayer episode, or Buffy the Vampire Slayer episode, is Beer Bad. I think that's pretty funny that that's actually the name.
I think one of Buffy's last lines in that episode is, I've learned a lot. Tree pretty, fire bad, beer bad.
God. We've got some texts coming in. If you want to join us with you remembering some of the weirdest or maybe your favorite very special episodes that had lessons for everybody, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. 847 area code says, Fresh Prince, when Carlton got a gun for protection when Will got shot. What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Will got shot.
There's another one where Carlton inadvertently does drugs. Will has them in his locker. I forget what they were exactly.
Why does he have them in his locker?
I don't.
Is he doing drugs?
No, I forget what he was doing exactly with them. He might have been holding them for someone. And then Carlton, he wanted maybe something for a headache or something like that. And Will tells him that he has some aspirin in his locker.
Oh, and he ends up taking something else.
Yeah, and then he's at a dance and he's just freaking out. Like he's just like the Energizer Bunny.
Is
and
he doing
he
the Carlton
out.
Desk?
Probably.
Dance?
Probably. And then he passes out.
Yes, in the episode, Just Say Yo. Will, Will is run down from work, school, and his girlfriend, and has trouble staying awake. He decides to take amphetamines to help him. Carlton asks for vitamins. Will accidentally gives him the uppers. Carlton ends up in the hospital.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Oh, I didn't know Will Smith.
He should have just got him from Jesse.
Yeah.
get some caffeine.
What about How Come You Don't Want Me, Man? Do you remember that one, Esmeralda?
Oh, yeah, where his dad.
His dad. So Will's dad came back, and like they spent a couple days together, and it seemed like his dad had his act together, and then just his dad just bailed and didn't stick around. And so Uncle Phil and Will were having a heart-to-heart, and Will goes, how come you don't want me, man? How come you don't want me, man?
That's actually really sad.
It's
Pretty did anybody play his father? Was he kind of a popular?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
I never watched that show. That was during that time period when I wasn't watching TV, which I know is hard for anybody to to believe, but there was a period of time in my 20s when I was going out like every night, and I wasn't really watching a lot of TV, and especially the sitcoms. Like I never watched Fresh Prince. I never watched The Full Houses. Yeah. Did I Do That, Idiot? That I never watched that.
Family Matters.
Yeah.
They were all very much for, they were very, you know, like G-rated,
yeah,
PG.
Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't imagine.
No, that, I mean, that, you know.
20, 30-somethings, like, sitting around like, ooh, we gotta watch The Fresh Prince.
It was not in my wheelhouse at all. Speaking of Family Matters, 630 area code, see if you guys remember this one.
Mm-hmm.
Family Matters had a police profiling episode where the son was pulled over and searched just because he was black.
Oh, I only know that because it's been on Facebook. The little clip where the dad confronts the cops who pulled him over.
Wasn't he a cop, though?
Yeah.
Okay, so
but he's a black cop.
No, I understand that. No, I understand. I wanted to see if I was just getting confused because he played a cop in Die Hard.
And don't people like throw the theory out that that's him?
It's him. Yeah, that, right. Exactly. Isn't it like he moved to Chicago after the incident in Nakatomi Plaza?
Yeah.
Does he eat Twinkies in Family Matters?
I don't know.
I don't remember him ever doing it.
Because that's the dead giveaway right there. If he's eating Twinkies in Family Matters, he's in the witness protection program, and that's the same dude.
Yet they still gave him a cop job?
That's exactly right.
They were like, this is all you could do. So,
you are correct. A famous actor did play Will's dad. It was Ben Vereen.
Whoa!
In the episode, Papa's Got a Brand New Excuse.
Oh, he did.
Ben Vereen.
Yes.
That's a big co-star, right? That's a big get for
that's
a guest
a very
star.
Very special episode.
So if you're going to get a very special episode, you better get a very special Ben Vereen.
Wow.
That's pretty impressive getting Ben Vereen. Do you know who Ben Vereen is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's,
he's a song and dance man and an actor. He was in Roots. He's been in a ton of.
Right. I can see his face.
He's in All That Jazz. He's in the last scene in All That Jazz, the movie that Mary loves so much.
Yeah.
He's in the. Then my dad and Mary would have fun watching that movie together, I think.
There was a Family
Matters. Family Matters, what happened now?
There was one where a gang showed up at like a play thing, like an arcade type place.
Did Urkel kick their ass?
No.
Did Stefan kick their ass?
No, it was Urkel. Urkel was scared.
I think there's a pretty great one on the list you have, Nick. I think it's the last one. That's a Family Matters episode involving Urkel being drugged on a rooftop.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I've seen, did we play this? Dan, did we play audio from this one?
I'll see if I can find it.
This is the number one on the list, in fact. Life of the Party from Family Matters. In an effort to convince the guests at Laura's friend's rooftop party that they can get down without getting drunk off booze, Steve Urkel teaches them, everyone, to do the Urkel dance.
Okay, that I remember.
Unfortunately, a jealous friend gets revenge by spiking Steve's punch, and Urkel, never famous for being graceful on his feet, then drunkenly stumbles off the roof and nearly falls to his death.
Oh, my God!
Aunt Rachel's amateur highwire act saves the day, and Waldo and Willie get busted.
Oh, man. I remember Do the Urkel. I remember them, like, learning to do the Urkel dance.
You
want to
do the Steve Urkel dance? All you have to do is hitch up your pants. Bend your knees and stick out your pelvis. I'm telling you, baby, it's better than that.
So, this is before they drug him and he almost dies?
Yeah.
So you would think it would be after. And then maybe the Urkel dance, he almost
falls. This is the reason why, trust me, this is the reason why they spike him. That's the reason.
Terrible.
It's like, just spike this guy's punch for putting us through this.
Oh.
Poor Urkel.
There's another one where Laura is trying to buy a car, and then at the dealership, the guy brushes her off and like calls her sweetheart and like tries to
Yeah,
give her a higher
price. Does she bring a man back in?
No, she dresses up as a man.
Oh, okay.
And then, yeah.
And then she's dealt with.
And I think at one point she's like, I'm the same person. And
yeah.
Then, yeah.
Wow. Taking on the big issues.
Yes, very much so.
All right, here's one from What's Happening. We've talked about this one before. Doobie or not Doobie? When they go to the Doobie Brothers, they go to the Doobie Brothers concert.
Yeah.
Bullies initially coerced the boys into taping the Doobie Brothers show, but the Doobie Brothers, featuring future yacht rock legend Michael McDonald, turn out to be even more intimidating than bootleggers, and even getting the LAPD involved. And then
Oh man,
we talked about Bicycle Man already. We talked about that one. Let's see, MacGyver had a very special episode.
Okay,
called Black Rhino. This episode features MacGyver on a manhunt in Africa. Richard Dean Anderson and his majestic mullet nearly stands up for the black rhino after a poacher chainsaws off its ivory horn and leaves it for dead.
Oh, my gosh.
Then, with good reason, the graphic depiction of this unpleasant scene was intense enough to merit a no animals were harmed disclaimer after the opening credits. Wow.
So MacGyver was not able to save that poor black rhino's horn.
No, but he did save the rhino's life.
The rhino in general.
Yeah. Mm. Punky Brewster had one.
Well, I mean, she was... Wasn't she an orphan?
I don't know. You're asking the wrong guy.
She was an orphan, and then the old man takes her in. So she probably already had a lot of issues.
Well, this one was specific. May 80s kids remember watching in horror in classrooms on January 28th, 1986, when the space shuttle Challenger exploded.
Mm.
Then, less than 2 months later, many of them watched that tragedy recreated on an episode of Punky Brewster, delivering a class presentation on what she wants to be when she grows up. Punky enthuses about her future as an astronaut, encouraging her teacher to show the Challenger launch live in class.
Oh, my gosh.
God, the disaster.
Oh, that's terrible.
The disaster also causes Punky to second-guess her career aspirations. He's in the Witness Protection Program, and that's the same dude.
Yet they still gave him a cop job?
That's exactly right.
They were like, this is all you could do, so.
You are correct. A famous actor did play Will's dad. It was Ben Vereen.
Whoa!
In the episode, Papa's Got a Brand New Excuse.
Oh, he did.
Ben Vereen.
Yes.
That's a big co-star, right? That's a big get for a guest star.
A very special episode.
So if you're going to get a very special episode, you better get a very special Ben Vereen.
Wow.
That's pretty impressive, getting Ben Vereen. Do you know who Ben Vereen is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's
a song and dance man and an actor. He was in Roots. He's been in a ton of...
Right. I can see his face.
He's in All That Jazz. He's in the last scene in All That Jazz, the movie that Mary loves so much.
Yeah.
He's in the... Then my dad and Mary would have fun watching that movie together,
yeah.
I think.
There was a Family Matter.
Family Matters, What Happened Now?
There was one where I think a gang showed up at like a play thing, like an arcade type place.
Did Urkel kick their ass?
No.
Did Stefan kick their ass?
No, it was Urkel. Urkel was scared.
I think there's a pretty great one on the list you have, Nick. I think it's the last one. That's a Family Matters episode involving Urkel being drugged on a rooftop.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I've seen. Did we play this? Dan, did we play audio from this one?
I'll see if I can find it.
This is the number one on the list, in fact. Life of the Party from Family Matters. In an effort to convince the guests at Laura's friend's rooftop party that they can get down without getting drunk off booze, Steve Urkel teaches them, everyone, to do the Urkel dance.
Okay, that I remember.
Unfortunately, a jealous friend gets revenge by spiking Steve's punch, and Urkel, never famous for being graceful on his feet, then drunkenly stumbles off the roof and nearly falls to his death.
Oh, my God!
Aunt Rachel's amateur highwire act saves the day, and Waldo and Willie get busted.
Oh, man. I remember Do the Urkel. I remember them, like, learning to do the Urkel dance.
You
want to
do the Steve Urkel dance? All you have to do is hitch up your pants. Bend your knees and stick out your pelvis. I'm telling you, baby, it's better than
that. So, this is before they drug him and he almost dies?
Yeah.
So you would think it would be after. And then maybe the Urkel dance, he almost
falls. This is the reason why, trust me, this is the reason why they spike him. That's the reason. It's like,
terrible.
Just spike this guy's punch for putting us through this.
Oh.
Poor Urkel.
There's another one where Laura is trying to buy a car, And then at the dealership, the guy brushes her off and like calls her sweetheart and like tries to give her a higher price.
Does she bring a man back in?
No, she dresses up as a man.
Oh, okay.
And then, yeah.
And then she's dealt with.
And I think at one point she's like, I'm the same person. And
Yeah. Wow. Taking on the big issues.
Yes, very much so.
All right, here's one from What's Happening. We've talked about this one before. Doobie or not Doobie? When they go to the Doobie they go to the Doobie Brothers concert.
Yeah.
bullies initially coerced the boys into taping the Doobie Brothers show, but the Doobie Brothers, featuring future yacht rock legend Michael McDonald, turn out to be even more intimidating than bootleggers, and even getting the LAPD involved. And then Yeah. We talked about Bicycle Man already. We talked about that one. Let's see. MacGyver had a very special episode.
Okay.
Called Black Rhino. This episode features MacGyver on a manhunt in Africa. Richard Dean Anderson and his majestic mullet nearly stands up for the black rhino after a poacher chainsaws off its ivory horn and leaves it for dead.
Oh, my gosh.
Then, with good reason, the graphic depiction of this unpleasant scene was intense enough to merit a no animals were harmed disclaimer after the opening credits. Wow.
So MacGyver was not able to save that poor black rhino's horn.
No, but he did save the rhino's life.
The rhino in general.
Yeah. Mm. Punky Brewster had one.
Well, I mean, she was... Wasn't she an orphan?
I don't know. You're asking the wrong guy.
She was an orphan, and then the old man takes her in. So she probably already had a lot of issues.
Well, this one was specific. May 80s kids remember watching in horror in classrooms on January 28th, 1986, when the space shuttle Challenger exploded.
Mm.
Then, less than 2 months later, many of them watched that tragedy recreated on an episode of Punky Brewster, delivering a class presentation on what she wants to be when she grows up. Punky enthuses about her future as an astronaut, encouraging her teacher to show the Challenger launch live in class.
Oh, my gosh.
God, the disaster.
Oh, that's terrible.
The disaster also causes Punky to second-guess her career aspiration.
I mean, yeah, when you see such a tragedy in front of your... Oh, my God.
And it was yours, and it was her suggestion.
Again, it's her idea.
Hey, let's watch the Challenger shuttle.
Jeez.
And then it says, luckily, guest star Buzz Aldrin stops by.
Oh, good.
To convince her that some risks are worth taking. You've got to take risks when you're doing something that nobody's ever done before.
Yeah.
That sounds horrifying, actually.
But for me, I'd be like, I think I'm going to stay on Earth.
That sounds horrifying.
Oh.
Punky Brewster. I mean, what kind of guilt trip does she have after? I'm sorry I was the one that insisted that we watch this.
Jeez.
Wow. I remember I was working at the Jewels when it happened. I was in, and I'm not kidding, I was in my least favorite aisle. I was in the generic aisle. I was stocking the generic aisle on that morning, and the boss came up. I guess they had the TV on downstairs. The boss came up and said that the shuttle had just exploded. And then we stopped working and went down, and we watched some of the footage of it.
Mm.
So you were two or something when it happened.
Yeah, what year was it?
86.
Yeah, it was
January of 86.
Yeah, I was three.
Dan, you don't remember, do you?
I do.
You do?
I mean...
Oh, you were like five. So,
right. Yeah. I was in school.
Oh, did they show it?
We did not. They did not show it to our classroom. I know that. I remember it vividly because, like, the big, whatchamacallit, the cart that held the TV was wheeled into the room for another class because we switched out classes and things like that.
Yeah.
And the older kids were going to watch it.
Wow, I can't imagine being a kid and watching that. I mean, it was just horrible. So, all right, we got a break. We got more very special episodes of TV to talk about. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We got a break for weather and traffic.
Now point your fingers up to the sky and talk through your nose way up high. Spin and dip and jump and cavort and finish it off with a laugh and snort.
Good Lord. Welcome back, everybody. I hope you enjoyed that. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. That was Do the Urkel by Steve Urkel. Hey, when they pushed him off the roof, did he go, did I do that?
Oh, no.
No, he did. He did.
Oh, no. I don't think so.
No, he didn't do it. I do that. I can't believe that Reginald Bell Johnson didn't throw him off a roof earlier.
Right?
You know, I mean, I remember discovering, because I never watched the show, and I remember discovering that he actually didn't live there, that he was like a neighbor.
Yeah.
And I just kept thinking to myself, why the hell do you let him in?
Well,
why?
No, they never let him in. He just came in.
He would walk in?
Right.
I could throw his ass out, lock the door.
Well, I'm just saying, lock your doors,
guys. Because he comes in, busts stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Did I do that? And then Twinkie guy's like, you're Urkel.
Yeah, he's always breaking something.
Moron.
Giving wrong advice.
No, seriously, when I found out, because I thought he lived there. I was like, he's the dorky kid that lives there. No, he's a neighbor. I'm like, well, why is he in the house?
Yeah, he's the neighbor.
All right.
But you feel bad for him, because I don't think his parents care about him.
Well, clearly. Billy said there was an episode of Body Shaming from Facts of Life, which was years ahead of its time. They didn't call it body shaming, but it explained that it was wrong to make fun of overweight people. One episode that comes to mind is a Punky Brewster where Cherry gets locked in an old refrigerator in the backyard of their apartment. They have to perform CPR because she goes unconscious.
Oh, my gosh.
Different Strokes had a lot more. One to address bullying. Muhammad Ali was on to threaten the bully, whoever torments Arnold. And do you remember the episode of Welcome Back, Kotter, when Freddie Boom Boom Washington became addicted to painkillers? I remember all of the sweat hogs walking around saying, give me drugs to get him to quit. Now, that's special. And then finally, the classic.
Mm.
Uncle Ned Family Ties episode with Tom Hanks as Uncle Ned. Of all the lessons learned in the episode on the list, perhaps the most special is the one imparted on the second season episode of Family Ties, namely that you can totally get hammered by downing a bottle of vanilla extract, which is what Tom Hanks is doing.
Yeah.
The 70-proof concentrated dessert ingredient is one of many unconventional beverages that Tom Hanks attempts to imbibe as Uncle Ned, an alcoholic bender. In this outing, he drains the juice from a jar of maraschino cherries and slaps his nephew, Alex P. Keaton, across the face. The episode ends with Ned calling Alcoholics Anonymous.
Is this the only time that Tom Hanks has ever played an evil man?
well, yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure. But we have a little bit of this. Now, I was just telling off the air this story, and I think I've mentioned it on the air to Esmeralda, that on the 1 year anniversary of me being sober, the 1 year anniversary, the day,
mm-hmm.
I was at home. It was a Saturday night, and I was about to watch the Johnny Carson rerun on Antenna TV. Family Ties is on before it, or it was on before it at 9:30. So I turned it on. Well, 1 year anniversary on the day of my sobriety. This episode was on. I turned it on. I'm like, whoa, are you kidding me? Seriously? So anyway, this is Tom Hanks playing Uncle Ned the Drunk. Here we go.
Yo, Uncle Ned, are you okay?
I'm fine. Let's see. Now, there ought to be some alcohol in here somewhere. Oh, what's it got? Marinated artichoke hearts. You ever have a real good artichoke high, Alex?
Cut it out, Uncle Ned. You really don't need this.
Oh, here we go. Now, it may not be Miller time, but it is vanilla time. Just look at you, kid. Now, remember, don't drive and bake.
I don't believe this. You just drank a whole bottle of vanilla extract.
I'm sorry, did you want some?
No, I didn't.
Well, come on, sit down. Maybe I can help you with this test of yours tomorrow, huh? I am not totally unfamiliar with the area of economics, you know.
Thanks, I think I'll do all right.
You don't think your Uncle Ned has it anymore, huh? You're ashamed of your Uncle Ned. You think I might give you the wrong answers. Let me tell you something. I spoke in front of the World Bank. So why don't you just come down from this high horse and ask your Uncle Ned for some help, huh? What's the matter? Don't you like your Uncle Ned anymore?
I like him. I like him a lot.
And yet you're too good to sit down and have a glass of maraschino cherries with him, huh? Is that it? Come on.
I've just never seen you drunk before.
You think I'm drunk? You think I am drunk? Let me tell you something, buddy. I'm drunk. Why shouldn't I be?
don't like to see you like this.
You are just like that mother of yours, aren't you? You always think you can tell me what to do.
Uncle Ned.
Let me tell you something. Ned Donnelly marches to his own drum. So don't think you can come in here and prop me up with some pious platitudes because you were wrong. Why don't you just get out of here, huh?
Beat it. You're beginning to get on my nerves.
Why don't you just come upstairs, sleep it off?
No. I'm going to go out.
Taxi! Pull yourself together.
Will you get out of here, you punk? Just get out of here!
All right, I'll get out of here.
More cherries for me.
There you go.
When did he slap him?
He slaps him a little bit later.
Okay.
And then, like, at the end of the episode, he calls AA.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. It's weird to hear them making jokes like that, though. It's really...
It's really weird.
It's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable.
Because of the laugh track, and then it's but it's serious.
Yeah, but that's the style back then.
Right.
You know what I mean? But it's really uncomfortable. So, anyway. All right. Well, those are some very special episodes available online. Of your favorite TV shows. So, all right, Esmeralda, we'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
On the fly, get ready for your heart, Melda.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we'll take a break. News is coming up next.